Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
DJ Still, you have a large penis.
Oh, Anthony,
shut your fucking mouth, skank! I'm sick of your broads yapping and yapping and yapping about nothing but pure shit all the fucking time. Shut the fuck up and listen to something good for once, like the DJ New Style Show.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue at the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my god, a ill reindeer. My man, I was ill, called the man had a beard and a bag full of goodies, 12 o'clock at noon. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he must have dropped his wallet back dead on the lawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never feel for Santa, cause that ain't right. So I was going home to mail it back to him that night. But when I got home, I thought, cause under the tree was a letter from Santa, and the door was for me. It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens, rice and stuffing macaroni and cheese. And Santa put gifts under Christmas trees. Decorate the house with lights at night. Snow's on the ground, snow white so bright. In the fireplace is the Yule log. Beneath the mistletoe as we drink eggnog. The rhymes that you hear are the rhymes of carols. Like each and every year we bust Christmas carols. Christmas carols.
Style show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark, we proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homo is good punching.
Are you guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Hey, Donna! Did you start the coffee yet?
Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. You're listening to the DJ New Style Show, exclusive Tuesday night programming on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. And what's the band coming up next? Can you guess? I already did. In my head. Who are they? Rammstein! Yes. Let's back this up a bit. Thank you. Thank you for tuning into this fantastic, fantastic display of internet radio broadcasting called the DJ New Style Show. With me, as always, he's hapless, he's bald, he hates germs just as much as anybody else. Frank, the germ freak. What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, good evening, Ken. How are
hey,
you?
Hey, God bless. You know, hey. Anything I can do, you know, yeah. God.
Hey, what's up? Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Yeah, say a prayer, you know. Frank, it's Christmas season. You are aware of this.
I've heard.
We're well into it now at this point.
Oh, it's down to the money.
Down to the money.
I mean, down to the wire.
Down to the money.
Down to the wire.
Down to the money. Careful what you say, Frank. There are people that pilfer phrases. There are people that use our show to get catchphrases, to get their marketing campaigns, to get the one thing that might get them some notoriety, get them known, get them into the hearts.
You know what
of
I call
viewers.
Those people?
Ken Moreheads?
Or hacks.
Whoa, easy. Easy. You're calling Ken Morehead a hack. Do you understand?
That's what I'm saying. Listen, that's all I want to say so far.
This guy is going to be calling in, and I'd love to see you say something mean to his...
I'll say it's right on the thing there.
I was going to say to his face, but he's not
going
to actually be here.
Say that.
He's not going into your basement because he's not an exterminator or your wife or kids. Those are the only people that are ever allowed in your basement, and me, and various interns, Frank.
It's true.
It is true. Absolutely. Now, Frank, I'd like to start something here. You've taken to using text messages as a form of communication.
I'm
boldly,
up on the times.
You
I'm
boldly
up on the times.
Leaped into 1999, just 10 years late, embracing this new form of communication.
When did text messages come out? I mean, when were they started?
I'm sure they were started well before I would even be able to say.
Oh,
but I'm going to say that. I was first aware of them maybe 1999, I'm going to say. 99, let's say that. That's when it first became widely exposed to me. And how about you, Frank? When were you first texting?
Probably like maybe...
June?
Around the same time.
No.
2000 maybe.
Yeah. Well, now you're texting me on a fucking a daily basis.
Not particularly. Just want to have something to say.
Which is pretty much on a daily basis.
No, not really. No. I wouldn't flatter myself.
It really is.
It really isn't.
Okay, well, today you definitely said me something.
I think I did.
Excuse me?
Today I think I did. I texted a lot of people today. I was kind of bored.
Yeah, well, you definitely did, Frank. I have a message here. It's a series of messages I strung together into an actual thought. It took a lot of work taking your messages and turning it into a thought. But here is the entire gist of your series of messages. I stepped in dog shit today. Smell the whole car up. Do you want to elaborate a little bit what that means? It was like four messages, but there's like eight words.
It's kind of self-explanatory. I was in somebody's backyard, and there was mushy. I asked the person if there were any landmines, and the person said no.
Landmines?
Well, that's another name of what you call dog shit.
Oh, Jesus. That's your big jokey thing to say
that's,
to somebody.
That's my little icebreaker, you see? That's the way I roll.
Have you done a poop patrol lately? Oh, yeah! Fucking douche. Any landmines here? Huh? Okay, so you asked the man if there's any dog shit in the yard,
right? And
he lied to you and said no,
right? But then there was,
and you stepped right into it.
And it was the mushy, yellowish kind.
Yeah, the sickly. I just swallowed entire rawhide. Maybe I had a fucking pig's ear.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe I ate too many greenies. That kind of dog shit. No shape. Just a citrus. A rotten citrus color.
Right, that's it. That's it. So I stepped in it, and then I didn't realize until I got into my... Because, you know, the smell dissipates while you're outside. So when you get in the car and you put your feet where you put where the pedals are, it captures that aroma. It's just stuck in that little area over there. And then when you put the heat on... When I put the heat on, I usually put it directly toward the vent to the bottom to warm up my feet.
Yeah.
And that even... puts more force into the odor of it because the heatness, the hot air that blows on the dog
what?
Shit.
The what blows onto it?
The hot air blows on the dog shit.
You said heatness.
Oh. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Heatness. I know the word. I'm fucking genius.
No, you're not. You're actually, you just have a very, very poor command of our language. So now you're smelling it because the your heating system in your car is circulating it and it's coming up to your nose.
Right. Have you ever stepped in dog shit and gotten your car?
Yes, I have, but the advantage I have is that I always wear old sneakers. because I have no tread. So by the time I get to my car, it's all already off. I could step in dog shit right now, and but you know, within four steps, my shoes are clean. Right.
I have the kind of those like anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you've just heard is complete breakdown of a cerebellum. Just fucking synapses that never were.
No. What I was gonna say is the bottom of my the shoes, the soles, they're not. It's not flat. There's a lot of textures.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ridges. When I was in school, I have definitely stepped in mud and dog shit and sat with one leg over my knee, kind of like like cross-legged, and picked out all the shit with like a pencil or pen tip, and I just left it there on the ground. But I used to be obsessed with getting all the gunk out of the treads of my sneakers when I was in school. But now my shoes are so fucking worn out. You know, 6 years old, 6 years old, 5 years old, they can't collect anything. So right. You have it in your car now. You're fucked. Your car
I'm
is just shitty.
I have
just
appointments
shitty.
I have to go to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like all over the side of my foot, you know, like it's just disgusting.
It's on the side?
Well, like this, you know, the rubber goes up high, so it's a little.
Oh, okay. So you stepped into it. You didn't step on it. You stepped
no,
into
I,
it.
I sunk
and
it
into seeped.
It. It, I
yeah,
sunk it
it's
to it.
And it seeped around the bottom of your shoe,
right around the sides of it.
Like if you step into muddy grass, like
that's
your
right.
foot will go in, and
yeah, exactly. You got a good clear picture of it, my friend.
I certainly do. I've been there.
Described it very well.
I've been there many times.
Okay, so anyway, I'm frantic in the car because I have appointments I have to go to. My it's stinking up, and I'm trying to. I'm on Route 287, and I'm trying to think what the fuck am I going to do. So while I'm on 287, I'm looking for like puddles and stuff. So I pulled over to the shoulder and got out of the car. Now, mind you, I pulled over on the left hand shoulder so as not to put myself in danger.
So you're by the median?
Well, there was you know those little openings where like only like police people can use can go on a U-turn. Like
yeah.
It's not meant for public. Well, I went into one of those little areas. I got out of the car. I started jumping up and down and loosening it up a little bit.
Wait. It's just open dirt, though. Open grass.
No. This was a road where it says no, you know, no cutting through. Like if you want to go from 287 north to south, you can take this little shortcut, even though you're not supposed to.
Okay,
but
is there? Yeah, I do. I know exactly what you're talking about. But there's definitely a chance that a drunk driver could peel into that area and kill you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I drove into it quite far, but that's besides.
So you broke the law.
All right.
You're not allowed in there.
Right.
Anyway,
so,
okay, so you're up there
no,
jumping
I,
up and down.
I got out of the car, and I just was jumping up and down to get the stuff out, and I saw some puddles over there, and I was slopping around in the puddles, but it wasn't doing the job.
Yeah.
I got off at the exit where I had to go, and I had to get gas because I was on fumes, and, you know.
Of course.
So I'm at the gas station frantically looking for some place to stick my foot to wash it off, and I just walked around the gas station, and I decided to put it in the bucket where you wash the windows.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, that's actually not a bad move.
Thank you.
That's not a bad move at all.
I know it's not. That's why I thought of it.
And not only that, you have control at that point.
That's right.
If you have a garden hose or something like that, you could fuck up and get your shoe wet. In this, you could submerge only the proper amount.
Right.
So you didn't just take your shoe and drop it in there.
No, you eased
your foot with the shoe on it into
it's
this bucket.
Gradually.
Thank you for letting me know what it's called.
And I
have a new word to use.
Don't get me wrong.
Club,
don't get me
fucking
wrong.
Fucking asshole.
Don't get me wrong. I did, you know, it got to the point where I had to put it a little deep and some of the water did saturate inside the shoe. I'm not going to lie.
You fucked up.
I'm not going to lie.
You fucked
because
it
some of it was stuck in the crevices. And then I used a little wiper thing to scrape it off a little bit more.
And that's going to go on someone's fucking windshield.
Anyway, so that's how I took care of it.
Ugh. Well, that's good. That's good. It's good to know you were able to get shit off your shoe. Now you don't have to leave it, leave your shoe and abandon it like you've done before.
Yeah, I did that once before.
Now, why did you do that? Because there was semen. So semen.
I stepped on semen.
Semen is worse than dog shit, right?
Oh, absolutely. Come on now. Don't be silly.
I'm not trying to be silly. I'm just letting you know. It is. So, Frank, thank you for your text message of the week. I cherish them. You can also see such thoughts on twitter.com/thegermfreak. You do tweet, right? From your
I tweet. You know, yeah. I mean, sometimes I may do it more often than other times, but it comes. You know, if the mood strikes.
Yeah, when the mood strikes, right. Definitely.
Right, germ freak.
Yeah, that's fine. You can have that one. I posted something on Twitter, Frank, and I kind of noticed that every year I'll be in a bank or I'll be in a store or I'll pass something, and it's like the menorah has three candles lit on it. It's every year I don't notice that it's Hanukkah until like 3 days in. That's how little I'm even exposed to this. And you, of course, came at me full fucking force for even acknowledging Hanukkah at all.
Not acknowledging it. My fact
wanna,
of the matter
do you want
to
explain then?
Well, my fact of the matter is, what does it matter if you remember it or not, as you are a Gentile? It's irrelevant.
Dig a little deeper, okay? Obviously, I know I don't celebrate Hanukkah. Obviously, I know that
and you didn't
me missing
spell
it doesn't...
the proper way. There's a C in front of it to spell it properly.
No, that's a...
Ask
that,
Jeff.
That's,
he'll
that's
tell
a
you.
Romanization of it.
No. All right, go ahead.
Yes, it was. Look it up on Wikipedia.
That's the proper way is with a C.
Is what it's saying. Is that why all the Wikipedia articles are fucking referred to the H article? You fucking asshole.
What? Hey, fuckface, the proper way to spell it is with a C.
Everybody knows Wikipedia is the online Torah and Talmud.
The proper way to spell Hanukkah is with a C. Don't tell me.
You're not even Jewish, nor do you even know what Hanukkah
Neither
is.
Neither are you.
I'm not, but I fucking read something about it. The difference between me and you is that what you'll do is you'll see something and you say, does this affect me personally? No? Okay, I don't need to know anything about it. I don't need to know anything about it. I don't care when it's happening. I don't care who it's happening to.
And why do you say I'm digging deeper?
You dig a little deeper, Frank. You just look at the surface. You see Hanukkah, and you say, oh, that doesn't bother me. Why should that bother you? It doesn't bother you. Why are you thinking about this? Well, what I'm thinking is every Jew knows when it's Christmas. Like, you're never going to find a Jewish person that says, oh, it's Christmas time already?
You know...
It's Christmas? Really?
You're right. Right. I find it offensive that you use the word Jew, number one.
Why? Why is that offensive?
I find the word Jew very offensive. You don't... Hey, he's a Jew. You say he's Hebrew. That's what you say.
I think that's probably more offensive. Calling someone, let me tell you, Hebrew. They call themselves Jews, Frank. It's okay. It's not bad. I mean, you use people. I remember the first time I heard the word someone call someone a Jew. I thought it was bad. I thought that was a bad thing because I've heard a ton of anti-Jew jokes. So I'm like, oh my God, you can't say that to these people. But I was also 7, Frank. I was not 42. How old are you now?
I'm 39 and a half.
It's getting there. Getting there.
It's definitely getting there,
man. You are over the hump. Definitely
oh,
over the hump right
me.
Now. Yeah,
God
no one, God won't even help you.
You're over the hump to 30, my friend.
Don't care. Doesn't affect me. It does affect you, though, that you're going to be 40 pretty soon. So, yeah. I mean, Hanukkah just happens, and it doesn't really affect anybody that it shouldn't. But Christmas happens, and anybody it doesn't even affect knows about it. Whether it affects you or not, you know it's Christmas. Yet... there are people that still wish people, hey, season's greetings. That's kind of what I'm thinking about, Frank. Not the hey, it should always be Christmas. I could care less what you say to somebody you don't ever want to see for another year.
You're just realizing that now.
No, I it just hits me whenever I see two or three candles lit up on the menorah that, you know, whatever. That I'm like, wow, there's a whole holiday that we're supposed to be like aware of. It's just happening.
I remember
whether I know it or not.
When I was a child, and please, this is no disrespect to any national religion of any sort, but I remember I would have Jewish classmates, and they would say to me, "Well, you guys celebrate Christmas, but you only get presents one day. We get them for 8 days."
Yeah, enjoy your 8 erasers, you fucking asshole.
Oh boy,
what? Okay, a pack of socks and a pencil is not a fucking present. I'm sorry, you can say 8 presents, whatever. You're getting one good one just like me. Same fucking difference. It all averages out. But yeah, that was the big comeback. They're like, yeah, you have all the songs, but we have 8 gifts, 8 days of presents. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I like the dreidel song just as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
But it has to be, you know, pretty feel lonely when there's no other songs to sing.
I mean, yeah, but there's the Adam Sandler song that, you know.
Well, that's just a mockery.
It's got to be considered a Hanukkah song. It's called
it's
the Hanukkah song.
It's not a traditional song, okay?
They play it every fucking year.
Listen, we all know
they've played it every year, two or three versions of it since 1994.
May I sing the dreidel song for a second?
Yes, I'd love to hear your rendition of this.
Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, oh dreidel, I shall play.
Bravo. Now, Frank, have you ever played dreidel?
I don't think I've ever held a dreidel.
I've tried playing dreidel, and then I'm like, oh, it's on this letter that I don't know what it is. What do I win? Oh, it's on this other letter. I don't know what it is. Yeah, but you get certain things, I guess. You get little coins and shit. Little gold coins.
Yeah, a lot of times, a lot of Jewish people, they have chocolate coins.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing. And sometimes when we were in school, the Jewish kids, the Jews, they would bring in, like, potato pancakes.
Right.
It was a little special treat just to almost, like, you know, say, hey, we have a holiday, too. We spin a top that we made out of clay, and we eat these things. And I'm like, but these are hash browns from McDonald's. And like, no, it's different.
Have you ever had a potato pancake?
A panakokin? What?
Have you ever had a potato pancake? Have you ever had one?
Yes.
Never had it.
Yes, I have. So, oh yeah, goatweed, by the way, is in the heroestalk.com chat room. Can you fucking refrain from doing that, please? Can you do me a fucking favor and not just snort fucking snot into your brain to replace the holes that were fucking burned out by your advanced fucking age?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Goatweed is in the Heroes Talk chat room. He says, half ages shouldn't apply to adults. There should never be an adult that says, oh, I'm 39 and a half. I'm 39 and three quarters.
I was only saying that because I was acknowledging that I'm getting to the point where
adults round up, Frank. You're 40 years old. You call me a dope fuck?
I called him goat fuck.
Oh, you called him goat fuck. I thought you called me a dope fuck. Well, I want you to apologize.
I will not.
Frank, I have to apologize. I have a little bit of a retraction.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to hear this.
I don't know if I have do I have a sound effect? I really don't think I do. Frank, why don't you just make a little trumpet noise or something right now?
I got nothing. Come
on. Just do the sound of it like a trumpet or something. That's what you think a trumpet sounds like? A duck that's getting fucked by somebody? That's what you think it is?
Come on, I want to hear
retraction.
Or you could do that your Fanny Fine fanfare or funny only time fanfare.
I could do that, but I'm not going to do that. Why waste it?
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Frank, I have to retract something that I said a couple episodes ago. We were discussing a certain dish that was prepared as a delicacy in Frank's family. Frank, the sheep's head. Do you remember what it was called?
It's bonzette.
Bonzette. Bonzette. The Italian roasted sheep's head.
Right.
That I mocked you for.
Right.
Called you from a clan of animals.
Right.
And I wanted to talk to my Italian mother about this and say, how nuts is that that they're eating sheep's heads? And she goes, oh, your Uncle Pat used to make that all the time.
Okay, so there you go.
Used to make the sheep's head in my fucking family. People in my family ate the heads of a fucking sheep. I feel like half a human. I feel like half of a fucking man. That they would say, you know what? We've got our wool. We've got some lamb chops. Let's do something with the head. Let's put some onions on the side of it. Let's get a nice mush under it. And let's roast it up and serve it. The eyeballs are the best part. I have to retract and apologize to Frank. My family ate that fucking sheep's head as well.
Thank you.
And it was the same person, the same, dare I say, culinary genius in my family who invented the dish at Easter called la bene. Have I ever spoken to you about la bene?
I have heard. I've seen pictures of it.
La bene. If you have the time to pay attention, is basically a layered pile of ricotta cheese, grapefruit, salami, oranges, and hard-boiled eggs layered into a fucking heap. It looks repulsive, but I must say that over time I've come to love la bene.
So who would have guessed that the man who basically piled up whatever he had left over and called it Easter breakfast, and when actually he was asked what it was called, he said, "It's good," in Italian. La bene. Who would have guessed that he had eaten the fucking head of a sheep? And now, Frank, I can't fucking make fun of you for this. And I can't laugh at the Photoshop produced by Jay Carter. He's a user of the Heroes Talk forums, heroestalk.com/forum. And he's posted a Photoshop on germfreaksightings.tumblr.com. germfreaksightings.tumblr.com. This Photoshop, Frank, have you seen this?
I have seen it, and I got to be honest with you, I found it very funny.
Now, you looked at it, correct?
Yes.
Do you want to describe it a little bit?
What it is it's a picture of what's supposed to be my grand... Now, I had mentioned a couple episodes ago that my grandmother, she had hooves. She didn't have feet, she had hooves.
And I can't believe we glazed over that. I was so taken aback by the fact that your clan, your family, your ancestors ate sheep heads that I completely didn't even pay attention to the fact that you said your grandmother had hooves.
Right. She hooves. Had a thick, rubbery sole. And the way she walked was like toes pointed down. She before she passed away, a couple months before she passed away, I said to myself, I need to take a picture of this for photographic evidence.
Wait a minute. So you knew she was on her way out?
Well, listen, she was like 96 years old.
And
so
you wanted to...
So I took a picture of her feet, and I think it's at my mother's house.
Oh my God.
Try and get it. And you will see that my grandmother did indeed have hooves.
You actually took a picture of your dying grandmother's feet just to prove that they were disfigured.
Yes, they were disfigured.
So that people in the future wouldn't think that you were a liar.
Exactly.
So basically, Jay Carter took a picture of a shelf-ass old Italian lady cooking something in a pot, took camel feet and put it on her, took Frank's face, put it on her, and put a bonzette in the pan. And Frank, you even said that kitchen looked a lot like your grandmother's.
It was very like my grandmother's kitchen in the Ironbound section of Newark, New Jersey. Yes, indeed.
Yes, Newark, New Jersey, Ironbound. That's right. Germfreaksightings.tumblr.com if you want to take a look at that. That blew me away. I mean, that was a couple episodes ago. I mean, people download the show at DJ New Style Show. Oh, DJNewStyleShow.com. I'm sorry, Frank. I gotta be.
You made
sexy.
A big deal about me coughing. And
I can't help it if I gotta be appealing. Anyway, Frank, you know, I made the retraction. You understand? I made a retraction. That should be good enough for you. I should be okay. I should have enough fucking credit in the bank to get by on the occasional burp. All right? Jesus Christ! I mean, you're the one telling me that shit on your fucking shoes. Do you realize that? Now, going back to the Hanukkah thing, how long do you think? I mean, you said that the Adam Sandler song isn't an official holiday song. It's not an official Hanukkah song, right?
Right.
How long does the song have to be played before it becomes official?
Well, the problem with that song is he's making a mockery out of it because he's, you know, when he's singing the song and smirking like a mockery, I don't appreciate it. I find it highly offensive.
So, mockeries and joke songs should never be considered a holiday song. Right?
I'm just saying...
You're thinking he's mocking the holiday.
I think he's
it's disgraceful.
No. He's what's it called when you put somebody out there and you disgrace them? Mocking it. What's in the word? Mocking, exposing. When you put somebody out there, what is that called? When you put somebody out there, you mock you. When you put somebody out there, what's that called? Now,
I don't know. But put a fucking thesaurus on your Amazon wish list, please. I want to tell you, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, Dominic the Donkey, these are all jokey songs that you gladly accept and embrace. What are you tapping?
I'd rather not say.
Explain? I'm sorry, I heard something.
Oh, I was just tapping my hands together.
Oh. You know, you fucking told me something when we were preparing for the show. You basically said, do you ever just have to sniff your fingers?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
Well, sometimes...
Why is it that you constantly explore your odors in your body?
No.
Fucking
foul. The palm side of my fingers, the inside of my fingers,
yeah.
Sometimes it has like an odor to it, and I just have to smell it. You know, just whatever. I mean, you know, it's not a big deal. I didn't want to make a big deal about it.
Okay. Well, you know who might be making a big deal about it in a few minutes?
Who's that?
Ken Moorhead.
Oh, you mean Ken the Hack?
Ken Spiceness Moorhead will be calling in a few minutes.
I want to know what his deal is. I really want to know what he's all about.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a guy who runs a blog that basically teaches you how to make different cocktail drinks.
So he's a toxicologist then? A mixiologist, I mean?
A toxicologist.
He's a mixiologist, right?
A mixiologist. Frank, you have no idea what you're saying. You may have walked by somewhere where there was a sign that said that and think that you had it. Have you ever seen a word that like just in the periphery on the side and like thought that you understood what that meant, how it was pronounced, but you really have it wrong? Because I'm guessing with heatness and spiciness and toxicologist and mixiologist, I'm guessing it happens to you a lot. His website is kenmoorhead.com. That's kenmoorhead.com. We want to talk to him about spiciness.
I want to talk about him about drinks, too. I want to get his opinion on girl drinks and not girl drink. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, he is the expert.
He is.
Yes, but before we do that, why don't we take a quick break here? It's the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
I love it.
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
I love that clip, dude.
I'm leaving now. I'm a long gone daddy. I don't need you anyhow.
Hello and welcome to Insensitive Dad's Child Advice Corner. I'm Cornelius McBrewster. Thank you for listening. Well, for those of you who aren't Jews or Muslims, it's Christmas time. And actually, if you are a Jew or a Muslim, it's still Christmas time, and it's not a holiday season, it's Christmas. And what that means is that your children are going to start expecting things of you, whether they know it or not. Because, let's face it, some of your kids believe in the idea of a robed adult sneaking into their home to shove bait under a tree that just happens to be propped up in their living room. But even if your child doesn't believe in Santa Claus, if you have a child, that is, you have a greedy little bastard who's been taught wrongly to make a list of toys and other crap he thinks he wants, or better yet, expects. When it comes to Christmas and children, you don't give them what they want, you give them what they need. For example, last year my son asked me for a Dora the Explorer doll. So I gave him a good lesson that ended with him getting rid of them baby teeth ahead of schedule. Kids shouldn't be coddled, goddammit. You're filling them grade school classrooms with nothing but pussies. You show me a fourth grader nowadays that could take a whiskey-driven right cross to the eye socket, and by God, I'll be looking at my own 10-year-old son. My daughter even asked for something a couple years ago. Not that I remember what it was, but I do remember that she fell. We always seem to got icy steps, and well, kids will be kids. Anyhow, the point is this. You can get the results you want from parenthood as long as you remember these three things. They're the children, you're the adult, and what did mommy tell you to tell people about me? I will find out, goddammit! I ain't got but nothing but time. You got teeth, my knuckles is calloused, you little son of a bitch. God damn it, can't you see I'm breaking my ass for you goddamn kids? God damn! that's it for this week. Tune in next time. We're going to learn a great lesson here. If you're a parent, this is a very difficult thing, very common. We're gonna actually learn how to get your kid to clear their plate at dinner time. Also, next week, we're going to learn how to glue plates back together. Thank you for listening. Get the fuck out of my studio, you little son of a bitch. How long you been in here? God damn!
The DJ New Style Show.
Hello, and thank you for listening to The DJ New Style Show on HearUsTalk.com. Please tune in to all of our other fine programming, such as Best in Show Radio. They're live every Thursday night, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
I was on another whole plateau. I've moved into some other new area when I'm passing logs through my butt that are probably... I'm going to say 4 inches in diameter. 3.5 to 4 inches in diameter.
Can you not say logs? Because I don't want you to make this conversation gross.
Also, every Friday night, check out The What Show, 9:30 to 12:30 a.m.
And then also, a woman's menzies.
Menzies? What are you, 80 years old?
Wait, she's just sitting there bleeding? Or
it's just blood coming out of the vagina trickling.
Drip.
What did you call it?
Menzies.
It's like what old people call it. What the hell is wrong with you?
So be sure to keep tuning in to the DJ New Style Show, Best in Show, and The What Show. Hear us talk. Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. DJNewStyleShow.com. 316-768-4472. That's the number to call. Be sure to check out Best in Show Thursday nights, The What Show Friday nights, HearUsTalk.com. We've got a good piece of software for you to try. It's actually fantastic. When you think about video conferencing, Frank, when you think about all these things, I don't know about you, I think about ICU2.com. That's ICU2.com. It's free to try. Download it on your Windows PC, and you'll be face-to-face with people from all over the world, Frank. It's your gateway to the globe and the people in it. Go to ICU2.com, click download. It is the 2009 People's Choice Award winner for Internet communication. Frank, how are you? Good?
Doing very well.
Well,
thank
I also
you.
Want
Thanks
to welcome.
For asking.
You know what? We don't care about you because we have someone on the show, someone important. Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Moorhead. Ken Moorhead, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right, Ken. I think we have a bit of a problem. I don't know if you're aware. I don't know if you've seen our tweets. If you've heard what we've been saying, Frank has a bit of an issue with you using the word spiciness, don't you, Frank?
I do. And I, how dare you?
Wow, really get him, Frank.
Wait, what the hell? You realize who I am, what I've created? I've created pretty much a whole dictionary of catchphrases, sayings, and words. And how dare you utilize something without my express written permission on your program? What is your response to that?
Well, Frank, I mean, I have to say that, I mean, you and I had a bit of a back and forth on Twitter the other day regarding my use of the word spiciness. And I do admit that a few weeks ago, I initially gave credit to yourself and DJ New Style. And then the next week, I used the word in question. My lawyer has advised me to not actually say the word until this issue is resolved.
Mm, interesting.
But anyway, said the word the following week and implied that it was of my own creation. And that was wrong. That was wrong.
No, you know what? Ken, I think that, you know, as official representative of all things created on the DJ New Style Show, I give you my full blessing to take spiciness and run with it. Ken Moorhead has a new trademark. He's got a new catchphrase, spiciness. Official ownership is yours. I give it to you. Go ahead and take it.
You know what? I'm going to say let me just say something to you, Mr. Moorhead, if I may call you that. I've created a ton of words and phrases. If I could just go over a couple of them very quickly. Thank you. I invented thank
Hold
you.
Hold on. Let me yes. get a pad of paper so I can write these down, Frank.
Okay. Just very Feature quickly, you. I want to say what I've invented, okay? Okay. I've invented the phrase thank you when you ask somebody, make a statement or ask a question. I invented that. I also invent listen. I invented listen using the word listen prior to starting a conversation. Please answer the question as me. No holding back. She enticed me. I apologize. I apologize is my biggest catchphrase of all. That's probably what I'm most well known for.
Yeah, you're not well known for it, though. That's the sad thing. If that's your most well-known thing, then you're really not all that known.
And there's a couple of acronyms that I've also created as well. A TFB, which is too fucking bad,
yeah.
And DWI, which is not driving while intoxicated. It's deal with it. Now, my friend Ken Moorhead, you're allowed to – above are my creations. You have permission to utilize them, but you must always give full credit where credit is due.
But, Frank –
Yes, please let me finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
After saying these words or phrases, you must then say copyright germ freak at the end.
Okay.
Violators will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Frank, he already created a Creative Commons copyright for Spiceness, so he owns it, actually. Legally, he owns it. You didn't.
Whose side are you on?
I gave it to him. I think he should have it.
Who fucking side, you know?
Here he is. Here he is, a guy. Listen to me. Shut your bald fucking face. I'm addressing the importance of Ken Moorhead and his show. He goes out there, he basically picks an ingredient, and every week he does a series of drinks involving that ingredient or theme, and he posts a video on how to make it, you know, his decisions on ingredients and all that. And you know what? Occasionally he makes a spicy drink. Why shouldn't he just say, I brought the Spiceness? Why shouldn't he have Spiceness t-shirts?
I want to give an olive branch to Ken Moorhead, and then this is the olive branch. I will allow you to utilize and perhaps even take ownership of the word Spiceness if you create a drink okay. called the Germ Freak.
Whoa! Whoa!
If I create a drink called the Germ Freak.
Yeah.
Yes.
So basically, pee in a snifter and you get Spiceness.
Now, Mr. Moorhead, what is your deal exactly? Are you a mixologist?
I would say amateur. Mixologist. It's been well over a year since I have actually tended bar professionally, so it's more of a hobby at this point.
Yeah. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, he did it professionally. He does it as a hobby, but he knows his stuff. You get the sense that this isn't new ground for you when we watch your videos.
I mean, it's something that like. It just comes naturally to me. It's like, I guess, you know, some people are really into sports or, you know, watching Grey's Anatomy.
Ken Moorhead, what is the recipe for a grasshopper?
Frank, what are you doing?
What is the recipe for a grasshopper?
Frank, what are you doing?
Is vodka, creme de menthe, and creme de cacao, I believe. It omits the half and half. No, I take that back. The grasshopper has the half and half in it. The Dirty Girl Scout does not.
Yeah, you see, now he knows his stuff, Frank. I mean,
there's also a little bit of light cream in there, wouldn't you say?
in the grasshopper, yes. I was
okay because you forgot that part.
I was confusing it with the Dirty Girl Scout.
Frank, what is it you're trying to prove? I don't understand what you're doing,
Mr. Moorhead. What's in a gimlet or a gimlet, however you pronounce it?
A gimlet?
Yes.
Are you joking me? Is this like
do I look like I'm
joking? Whoa!
Bartender school.
Nice.
Do I look like I'm joking to you?
I would say, okay.
You know what? Don't try and ask me questions to prolong your answer.
Get as vicious as you want to. He's a bald dope. He knows nothing. He wanted to basically discredit you, and he didn't know how to pronounce gimlet. He read it and said, "What's in a gimlet?" Or maybe, perhaps, could be, if you will, gimlet. The worst.
Are you going to answer the question, Mr. Moorhead, or are you going to prolong it?
A gimlet would be gin and sweetened lime juice. Rose's sweetened lime juice specifically was the first used in the drink. That's actually kind of Rose's lime claim to fame.
All right. Now,
this is my understanding of the history.
Now, Frank,
you're trying to discredit him. You don't know shit about drinks. You go to a bar and you have no idea what the hell to get. So who the hell are you to try and show that someone doesn't know what they're talking about?
I want
to
ask Mr. Moorhead if he was aware that a Malibu Bay Breeze can pack a real punch. Are you aware of that? It can pack a real punch.
Malibu Bay Breeze packs a real punch.
Yeah, he thinks that's the be all end all of mixed drinks.
If you're used to fighting kindergartners.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Moorhead, let me tell you something, Mr. Moorhead. I got a bone to pick with you. Listen, I'm an older man here. I'm 39 years of age. I like alcohol, but I like fruity drinks. I like very fruity drinks. I don't like the hard stuff. Once in a while, I'll have Patron with Silvers, but not too often. Okay. Please, I want you to give me your opinion of what is a feminine drink and what is not a feminine drink. And let me tell you what the drinks that I partake in. Fuzzy Navels, Jolly Ranchers, Malibu Bray Breezes, and perhaps once in a while a Mai Tai. Would they be classified as feminine drinks?
With the exception of the Mai Tai, in my personal opinion, yes, I would say so.
Are you sure about that?
I am sticking by that, yes.
Now, what categorizes something to be what makes it a feminine drink? Because the ingredients can very well just be the same ingredients that are utilized in a masculine drink. Isn't that correct?
I don't think so.
No, Frankie, you bring up a very good point, actually. I honestly don't care what anyone drinks as long as they're enjoying what they're drinking.
Now, when I order a drink at an establishment, and when I order my drink, the bartender chuckles a little bit. Isn't that wrong?
I don't think so.
No,
I think they've got you pegged. I think they absolutely have you pegged.
But bartenders are allowed to give the customers crap.
Yeah,
that's,
of course. You know
that's
what,
Frank?
You know what the problem is. You've had one borderline. Actually, I'd say it's a manly drink. You had a night on the town where you had some tequila. Now, do you remember the brand of the tequila?
Patron with Silvers.
Patron with what?
Silvers.
With Silvers. So, Ken Moorhead, have you ever heard of Patron with Silvers? I've never heard of this, actually.
Not with Silvers. Haven't heard that one.
No. So, but
that must be a special one they just break out for Frank.
Yeah, it's actually yeah, it's vagina water with no alcohol content. But Patron Silver, Frank, you did enjoy that, correct? You had a nice time out.
It wasn't bad. Mr.
Barb,
Moorhead.
Our friend Barb is in the chat room, and she said, "Face it, Frank, you're a washwoman." You're a fucking hen. Drinking your little girl drinks, dipping your tongue. This is, by the way, Ken, this is exactly how he handles a drink. He'll order his drink, and he'll dip his tongue in like a deer drinking from a brook. And then gulps the entire thing, ice cubes and all, and hands the empty glass back.
Let me tell you why I do that.
He treats everything like a shot.
Let me tell you why I do that. Mr. Moorhead, you know, people drink I think a shot can be anything. Sometimes I like to drink strawberry daiquiri shots because a shot, as long as you put it in a shot glass, it becomes a shot, right? So what I say to myself is as follows. People make fun of me for ordering these female drinks. So in order to counter that, I will drink it in one gulp. So I will be a little bit masculine as I'm drinking it. And even Ken said that he was shocked that I drank something so quickly one time.
Yeah. I mean, he ordered I think it was a vodka cranberry.
Cranberry.
And not even just me, everybody that was there with us, we were kind of in awe.
Thank you.
He literally threw the entire highball glass down like a shot glass. And there were no ice cubes, nothing.
Now, how do you feel about that, Mr. Moorhead? Are you impressed?
No. I am generally just not impressed by anyone's drinking ability.
Mr. Moorhead, if I can get to a serious issue here, bartender held yes, thank you. Is the bartender held responsibility? And let's get a little bit of seriousness now. What responsibility is the bartender? I mean, we've heard cases where the where establishments are sued because individuals go out drunk after leaving a bar, and they will then sue the establishment. Did you have that fear of that perhaps somebody you were serving would indeed drive home and perhaps get into an accident, perhaps injure somebody, and that you would in turn be blamed for such a situation?
Oh, it's absolutely possible, yes. The laws vary state by state. So I don't want to say it definitely can or can't happen, but it's certainly possible that the establishment could be held responsible for someone's behavior.
Have you ever refused somebody a drink?
Yes.
Now, what is has there been any physical confrontation? Has there been a little arguing? Please tell me what happened.
It's been so long. I don't recall there being any problems with it. It was just more of a situation where myself and the other bartenders, I mean, we just kind of said, we've cut this person off. We told them that they were cut off, and then they gave us the finger and left.
Hold on a second. I see something weird on the... What is this? I'm looking at the time here. Hold on a second. I don't know what's going on.
It's question time.
Oh, we're asking some questions. It's question time.
Oh, that's right. It's just a simple reminder that this is the part of the show where Germ Freak becomes obsessed with asking questions to whoever is on the phone with us. And right now that is Ken Moorhead, Toxie and Mixiologist on KenMoorhead.com. That's KenMoorhead.com. Frank, your barrage of questions for question time.
Do you utilize coasters and clean towels?
Always.
Please answer the following question. Have you ever had a situation? Let me ask you, let me just say it. I don't know if I'm always correct in tipping, okay? What are we supposed to tip a bartender? Do you tip them 20% like you do a waitress? If, say I order a drink, say I order a beverage from you, it's $6. How much tip am I supposed to leave you?
My personal take on it is, at minimum, $1 per drink.
Regardless of the cost of the drink?
At minimum, yes, $1 per drink. But, I mean, if it's a nicer drink, if it's a top-shelf thing, if the bartender has to go to extra trouble to make the drink, if they're just a good bartender, they're providing you good service, at minimum, $1 at the end of the night on your tab. Maybe $1 plus.
Okay. Calm down. I didn't listen. 15%. Listen, I did not ask you to expound. Okay.
Oh, by the way, Ken, when it's question time, he'll ask you when you should go into detail, and otherwise, you should assume that you just need to fire in a question or an answer to his question. He gets very particular. Frank, I'm sorry about this.
Okay.
At minimum, $1 per drink plus.
Oh my God.
Frank, please lay off. Lay off. He's new to this. Frank, please don't hurt him. Just ask your next questions.
Okay. Mr. Moorhead, are you ready
for my next question? Sir.
What is a barback and what are their duties?
A barback is responsible for keeping the bar stocked. They're basically the busboy equivalent in behind the bar.
I see.
Clear glasses and so on.
Have you ever spiked somebody's drink?
Without their knowledge?
Yes.
Or their consent? No.
Okay. Have you ever given somebody, said something to somebody, this is alcohol, but in fact did not put any alcohol in it because you felt this person was drinking too much? It's a yes or no question.
I like to call that the Christie.com. That's what she
used to do. Oh, no, you didn't!
With the caffeine, people that come in off the road.
Let me tell you about what this chick, Mr. Moorhead, if I could digress for a second, and I hope you don't mind. There's this woman who used to work at Starbucks, and if somebody ordered...
Excuse me, used to?
Yeah, she doesn't work there.
Oh, maybe she didn't give caffeine free to the wrong person.
She would give somebody caffeine free because she thought she was getting one over on them. And Ken made a good point. Ken said, well, listen, that's not good because this person may be coming in here because this person wants caffeine to keep himself up.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, she gave somebody sleepy time tea. And he went across a fucking, I don't even know what it's called at this point, a fucking rail and killed people.
Mr. Moorhead, I have another question if you don't mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. By the way, Frank, I'm looking at the clock here, and I'm not sure what time.
What time is it? Jen, it's question time.
It is question time still.
Oh, we're asking some questions. It's question time.
All right. Ken, you know the rules. If he asks you to expound, expound. Otherwise, rapid fire answers. Frank, please continue.
Explain the term highball. It sounds made up.
Highball is a type of glass. It's also called a Collins glass. You have the short rocks glass, and then you have the tall highball glass. It's just a type of glassware.
Chivas, is it really all that regal?
Oh, okay. I have never had that, to be honest. I wasn't sure what you're talking about at first. I've never tried it, so I don't know.
I see.
I thought we were talking about something Hebrew.
Do you have a bottle opener on your keychain?
I did for a while. I don't anymore. I have stripped down my keychain.
Have you ever been in a bar fight, and if so, did you win?
I have been in the middle of a bar fight. I had beer poured on me as I was trying to break up some customers.
Can I request that he expounds?
Please do.
Okay, could you expound? How did the fight break out?
I was actually bouncing at the time, because I started out as a bar back and bouncer, all 165 pounds of me at 5'10". So I was just watching the smoker's patio. Some guys had had too much to drink, started arguing with one another back and forth. I told them both to leave. They started shoving each other. I got in the middle of it, and as the one guy finally was leaving, the other poured his beer on what was his friend, actually. And I got some beer on me during that altercation. It was it wasn't, you know, too much to write home about.
Do you wear an apron?
Not typically. The bar I was working in was a dance club, so that wasn't part of our attire.
Matchbook tricks. How many do you know?
None, actually, because I'm not going to count, you know, flicking the thing lit as a trick. I can't do the whole Tom Cruise and cocktail of, you know, sliding it down the bar and it lights or whatever.
Now, how do you feel about that movie? Is that a correct portrayal of these individuals who make drinks? Could you do that?
As in the bottle tossing?
Yes.
I have tried, and it takes a lot of practice and coordination. And quite honestly, for what I enjoy doing so far as bartending goes, it's not practical for me.
Frank, do you have how many more questions do you have?
As many as the time will allow.
Because
I have a couple more.
I have a few things to ask of Ken when you're done, so please continue.
Yes. Mr. Moorhead, shot girls and test tube shots. Can you cut the bullshit with that?
Yeah, those things are the worst, most watered down. Like, they... you know, such a fucking
man.
Gimmick. Have you ever bought any of those test tube shots, Ken?
No, I've never paid for any of them.
Yeah, they're awful. Frank, have you even had any? You're asking this question.
I don't think I've ever had. No, I don't think I've ever had test tube shot.
Yeah,
never.
The hot girl walks around with like a carton of these test tubes that are filled and refilled throughout the night with like sugar water with a drop of grain alcohol in it. And people drink them in their mouth. Maybe the girl puts them between her tits or something like that. You know, just something to keep the guys buying these shitty drinks for like $6 a pop. And then she goes back, takes the ones that were all slobbered over, and just pours more of the fucking alcoholic Ecto Cooler into these things. It's really fucking terrible, really terrible. Frank, do you have any more questions?
Yes. Have you ever served somebody a drink in a dirty glass because you were too lazy to clean it?
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, absolutely not. The bar I was working at, I mean, we were all plasticware, so it was all disposable in the first place.
Oh, okay.
So when I've done parties for friends or whatever, I always make sure my glassware is clean.
A lot of people will say to me that you have to be careful because a lot of times bars will not clean their glasses properly. What is it that they're doing wrong? And is there a particular solution that has to be utilized? Please explain.
From what I have seen in other bars, when I've just worked there briefly, helping out for a night or whatever, there's usually a wash tub with just your normal dish soap. There's a rinse, and then there's a sanitizer solution. So I imagine if they're going through all those steps, the glass should be perfectly clean from a health standpoint, but you're probably getting water spots on them just from not being dried properly.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Moorhead, have you ever pooped in a bar bathroom? Please understand, this is important.
Yes, I have.
Wow.
Before the bar opened.
Oh, okay. See, that's how you get around it. I've never pooped in a bar bathroom. I have. Keep in mind, there's usually the bathroom with the one toilet and the urinal and the sink, like in a row. Like in a 3x3 room, as if somebody's gonna pee while you're shitting and someone's washing their hand. But if there's a stall system installed of more than two stalls, I will poop in that bar. Otherwise, no.
Oh, I have installed bathrooms before, yes, but when it's just like the communal trough, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, oh, the trough is the worst thing. Frank, have you ever been into a public bathroom where there's a trough?
Once, when I was a little kid, my father took me to the bathroom, and there was a trough there, and it had to be utilized, and it was very vile.
Just disgusting. Now, Ken, as it's been made abundantly clear, Frank likes girly drinks. Excuse me, what the fuck are you doing, you bald fuck?
I tried.
You OJ and fucking Malibu swilling fucking idiot.
I tried to move the microphone. I couldn't do it. I'm sorry.
I'm doing something nice here, trying to get you something to drink. You know,
I get it.
We have Ken Moorhead on the phone, kenmoorhead.com, KenMoorhead.com. He does a video show about cocktails. And I wanted to see if maybe you could suggest a drink for Frank. Knowing what it is he likes to drink, is there something that maybe could class him up a bit, make him a little more respectable?
Oh, absolutely. I've been looking at some recipes. The only thing I want to say about Frank's girly drinks, the only reason like they are girly by most people's standards is how sweet they are, and then the fact that usually you can't taste the booze in them. It's more of a thing where they're trying to hide the alcohol and still get you drunk. And if you're using decent alcohol, it actually tastes pretty good. So, Frank, I understand you like tequila, specifically the Patron with silver.
Yes, with silvers.
Okay. What I have picked out for you, do you like margaritas?
I don't know if I've ever had a margarita.
Yeah, he's 40 years old. He's never been to Chi-Chi's. So, You're going to have to fill him in.
Well, that's to his credit then. If he's never had a Chi-Chi's margarita.
Thank you.
Okay, Frank, I'm going to recommend, this is a semi-classic tequila cocktail for you. This is called the Paloma. And it is tequila, grapefruit juice, and a bit of lime.
Okay.
So tequila, grapefruit juice.
What's it called? It's called a Paloma?
Yes, P-A-L-O-M-A.
So if you go to a bar, the average bartender worth their salt should know a Paloma.
Okay.
I'm asking. Is that something you think he could get anywhere?
You should be able to, just because the ingredients are so common.
Okay. Mr. Moorhead, you have to be aware that I've ordered Jolly Ranchers and people had no idea what they were.
Yeah.
Do you know what a Jolly Rancher's made out of?
I had to look it up after.
I thought we were past that.
Oh, no. No, I'm just saying. Aren't you surprised that people don't know what Jolly Ranchers are made out of?
No, not at all.
Well... Okay, so basically, if a bartender doesn't know the drink's name, you should order it with just the ingredients. And this has three: tequila, grapefruit juice with lime, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, by the way, I think that's the mark of a man's drink—a drink that is named after its ingredients.
The problem with that is you could tell the bartender the ingredients, but the bartender's not going to know what parts, how much of each to put in.
So you say the name of the drink, and if they don't know it, then you just hope for the best with the ingredients.
Well. Does it come with an umbrella?
It comes with a salt rim, if you enjoy rimming.
Frank definitely does. Frank definitely does.
Mr. Moorhead, you know what?
We're getting a question here from White, Frank's favorite listener, White House Brent. He says, what is your best cure for a hangover? And obviously you film all your shows in one day, so you naturally have to have some kind of a cure.
The best thing I have found when I have woken up hungover is to, actually the night before, take 2 multivitamins and drink 2 pints of water. Sometimes I may take some ibuprofen, sometimes not. The other thing is when I wake up in the morning, drink a glass or 2 of water, and then just take the hottest shower I can stand for the longest time possible, and then finish it off with, like, ice cold water.
Nice. Nice. So, Frank, you got all that?
Yes, I do. Mr. Moorhead, thank you. But you realize I never have hangovers. I never vomit after I drink. That's something that I guess I was blessed with that. I've never vomited from drinking. I can hold my liquor.
He thinks he can. He really is bad at it. But he hasn't vomited yet in 6 times of drinking. Maybe he'll try the Paloma. Do you think so?
I look forward to it.
Okay. Well, Ken Moorhead, thank you for calling the show. Once again, that's Ken Moorhead, KenMoorhead.com. He's also on Twitter, Ken Moorhead on Twitter. You can check him out there and on Vidler.com. Ken Moorhead, thank you very much for calling, buddy.
Thank you, guys. You have a good one.
You too. Take care.
Thank you.
Why don't we take a brief, Frank?
I enjoyed that.
You know what? I did too. We could talk
the
about
DJ
it.
New style.
Whoa, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. What
the fuck?
We got cut off. No. I did enjoy that. I think I learned a little bit. I mean, you benefited from it more than me, I would say. Because you're new to the drinking thing. You don't really know about beverages, drinks. You don't know about cures for hangovers. These are all things that I think will help you in the long run. And now you have a drink that you can order, and it's sufficiently fruity for you, and you can order it by naming ingredients, so that satisfies the more masculine drink that you were after. Are you there?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, well then why don't we take a fucking break? Because when we were taking the break last time, you decided to chime in. But anyway, it's the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with... Frank, why don't you just finish it for me, please?
Hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your hands and the place to be.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
Hi everyone, this is DJ New Style, host of the DJ New Style Show, inviting you to check out the Hear Us Talk forums, the official message board of hearustalk.com. Discuss show topics, comment on previous episodes, talk to hosts, talk to fans, or peruse some of the bizarre images and video clips posted in our We Find Things on the Internet section. Do you like video games? What about sports? Are you into MMA? Do you like crappy music? Do you like broads? Wait, oh, of course not, but are you sexually attracted to women? Wait, still no? Okay, well, maybe you should pass the link on to a friend. HearUsTalk.com/forum. What I'm saying in a nutshell is that there's something for everyone in the Hear Us Talk forums. Go to HearUsTalk.com/forum, and if it's not there, and it should be, post it. HearUsTalk.com/forum.
The DJ New Style Show.
When the weather starts to warm up, everyone wants to hit the gym to look good. But there's no need for all that. You can look good by sporting your favorite Hear Us Talk logos and designs all year round. Log on to hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and check out the latest apparel. Men and women can find everything from t-shirts and track jackets to hooded and zippered sweatshirts featuring all of your favorite Hear Us Talk designs. If not hitting the gym has left you too big or too small, we'll have a size to fit you. So check out hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and cover yourself with us.
The DJ New Style Show.
Hello, Grandmother, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'd like to make a reservation.
Excuse me?
A reservation.
No, you don't have to make it.
I don't have to make a reservation?
No, no.
Do you have any rooms available for tonight?
Yes.
Okay. What is your rates?
One bed, 56, tax included.
How much do you take a discount for stains?
Discount?
If no. I find stains in the bed.
No, no.
Okay. Am I allowed to bring my lady there?
Maybe.
My woman.
Sure.
I could have sex there.
Excuse me, what kind of question you ask?
I want to know if I could fuck my broad there.
Excuse me, you know what? How old are you? You're supposed to think a little bit better than that, okay?
I apologize. I'm 42.
Yeah, I'm 62. I have a son your age.
I apologize. I'm sorry okay. for I offended you. Well, you didn't answer my question. Can I fuck her or not?
Listen, don't act like a jerk, ass, okay? You can fuck a dick.
Hey, this is Mike from Queens, and you're listening to the DJ New Style Show because you're pathetic. If you want to know what real men do, get in your underwear, get on the PlayStation Network, and eat microwavable foods.
Oh, yes. Microwavable foods indeed. Thank you, Mike from Queens. Be sure to check out DJNewStyleShow.com. Download everything we've ever done. Subscribe to the podcast and tell your friends that you've done that. So that maybe they'll do the same. And you can both be pathetic and join the PlayStation Network and eat microwavable foods. Very, very good stuff. Thanks to Ken Moorhead for calling in. Very good call, Frank. Frank, did you have a nice break? Did you have everything good for you?
Hey! 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 What are you doing here? Don't you have practice?
Not anymore. I quit.
Well, since when are you the quitting kind?
I just don't see the point anymore.
So you didn't make the dress list. There are greater tragedies in the world.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad. To prove to everyone...
Prove what?
That I was somebody.
Oh, you are full of crap. You are 5 feet nothing. 100 nothing. You've got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in there with the best college football team in the land for 2 years. And you're also going to walk out of here with a degree from the University of Notre Dame. In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself. And after what you've gone through, if you haven't done that by now, it ain't going to happen ever. Now go on back.
I'm sorry you never got to see your first game.
Hell, I've seen too many games in this stadium.
You said you never saw a game.
I've seen one from the stands.
You never saw one from the stands? So that means you're a player?
I rode the bench for 2 years. Thought I was being played because of my color. I got filled up with a lot of attitude, so I quit. Still, not a week goes by, I don't regret it. And I guarantee a week won't go by, you won't regret walking out. Letting them get the best of you. Now, you hear me clear enough?
I mean, I hear the fact about not quitting, but that color bullshit is, that's on you. End scene. Thank you. Thank you to 1993's Rudy. The worst football movie of all time. The worst football movie of all time. Frank, have you ever even seen the movie?
I have never seen the movie.
You gotta say, you did a bang-up job.
Thank you.
Playing the role of Charles S. Dutton.
I've always admired Charles Dutton, a.k.a. the murderer.
No, he was on Rock. Remember that successful TV show?
I do remember that.
That went up against The Simpsons? Or something like that, or The Cosby Show, I don't know.
I remember that show, because they would do a lot of live broadcasts. They would do, like, a live show.
Hmm. Oh, they did one live show in an effort to save the series, to get people watching again. And I think not a mistake was made, so it was basically like watching a taped show. There was a time where, like, every show tried doing a live broadcast. Like, ER did a live show. I think Friends may have done one. Like... It's why?
That's the true test of a show.
You think
because
so?
Because why can't you hear people, in real life, when people have conversations, sometimes they stutter and they'll mess up a word. So yeah. Why can't it be like that on television, in the movies? Why, you know, why can't we hear them talk as though they were really talking? I think it would make it more authentic. Do you not agree?
Yeah, but the whole thing is like they do the live episode after like 10 years of playing that character. They do it in their fucking sleep. They memorize the lines and then they just go through the fucking motions, pushing a gurney and just fucking soullessly delivering this bullshit that they fucking were handed a week ago. It's fucking garbage. And I do remember they called the live episode of Rock Comedy Without a Net.
Oh, geez.
Comedy Without a Net. Wow. What a fucking terrible. Oh, that's right. And Sheepy also said they did a live episode of Drew Carey. Now, there's a show The Drew Carey Show. How hilarious. Piece
hey,
of
it lasts a lot of years, my friend.
Dog shit. It's anything that fat man touches turns to fucking pure, wet, orangey shit that ends up on your sneaker.
Are you aware that he's the host of one of the greatest shows on television, The Price is Right? He's the host?
Oh, so he was the host at the pinnacle of greatness? Or are you fucking trivializing the career of one Bob Barker? You motherfucker.
Yeah, Bob Barker ended up being a complete whore master. This guy fucked all those women on there. You know,
good.
It was just vile.
You're Bob Barker. All you care about is getting fucking the nuts clipped off of dogs, okay? Get yours. Do your thing. There's only so many times you could fake smile while putting on TV. You gotta start banging some fucking broads. You can't. How many fucking dogs are you gonna adopt? And cats are you gonna save from a kill shelter? Fucking splay it open and hit it right. You go, Bob Barker, and I hope he's still doing it today. I hope he's still fucking doing it.
He would get all excited when it was the putting game, because that's the one he would partake in.
Yeah. Yeah, because he prided himself as being a good golfer.
Your favorite Price is Right game?
I bet you the reason why he liked it so much is because maybe he bet one of the whores that if he sinks it in one putt, he gets fucking anal, or he gets to lick crack, or perhaps, you know, get a back-of-the-hand hand job. You know, have you ever heard of a back-of-the-hand hand job?
No, I have not.
It's where the woman takes the two backs of her hands.
No.
Okay, that's fucking retarded. But okay. I guarantee you Ed has heard of it and probably paid for it.
Ed,
but yeah,
yes.
You were just about to talk about your
favorite. My three favorite Price Right games are as follows.
Okay.
Plinko.
Yes.
The one where they punched out the little to get the they punched like through this tissue paper or something to find something or other.
I don't remember. That seems like fucking every single one. Okay.
And also, I like the Appalachian Man where he's climbing a mountain.
Yeah, it's gay. I don't like that one. Plinko is the shit, though. Can you count the big wheel as one of the events? I think you have to.
That's not an event.
That's an event. That is one of my favorites, then. If it's not an event, then I have to pick a new number two. But Plinko is definitely the number one. I defy you to find someone who likes a Price is Right game more than Plinko. Right? I mean,
I cannot.
I can't even name any. I'm grabbing at straws here. I have no knowledge of any other ones. I just know that when I was homesick from school and I would watch Price is Right, I would just hope, oh, it's not Plinko. Okay, who gives a shit? Well, oh, great. They get to name the price of a car. Oh.
A lot of times is where, you know, you have like they have to match the price to
yeah.
the item.
Yeah.
And I always
Mailox, is it $249 or $16?
I always feel sorry for the person who gets the 65-year-old woman who's going to win a pair of Harleys, you know? What the fuck? It's just embarrassing.
It's true. It is. And everybody always says this. The showcase, what's the thing where you actually try to name the price and you nail it and then someone goes $1.
Right.
And fucks you over. Like you're over just a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
That name of that game with the mountain man is called Cliffhangers, by the way.
I don't even know how that one worked. I just remember the stupid.
Like this mechanical climber ascends up a mountain.
Yeah.
And taking one step up the mountain for each dollar, the contestant is away.
Yeah, I like the game where Bob Barker's shoulder blade fucks the black playmaker for cash prizes. That's my favorite one.
I also like the one where they usually are winning a car and they have to write down the price of the car. They have like 8 tries and they have to write that on with a magic marker.
Yeah. And then if they lose, they go their entire life telling everybody how they almost won a car. I almost won a Fiero on Price is Right. Awesome. Did you ever watch Classic Concentration?
I watched Concentration, but I never watched Classic Concentration. Hmm. What is the difference?
I don't know. 316-768-4472. That's the number to call if you want to call the show. 316-768-4472. We have a caller here. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
This is Steve the LARPer.
Whoa!
Oh, whoa! Stephen LARPer.
No, it's Steve the LARPer, Frank.
Oh.
Steve the LARPer.
Yes,
all right,
Frank.
Don't
not Stephen LARPer. Steve the
yes.
LARPer.
So Stephen LARPer, what's going on, buddy?
You guys are definitely disrespecting Monty Hall in this entire diatribe you both are going on.
Let's make a deal.
Yo, you have to definitely give mad props to Let's Make a Deal, because that was the original show where you'd have to, like, pull out a $2 bill and make $500 on that.
Yeah, but you know what? I never watched it. It was never in my rotation of daytime quiz or game shows. I think I missed the boat on it.
Was the 7 o'clock Jeopardy, 7:30?
No,
rotation, though?
Yeah, it was. But the thing is, I watched these things during the day when I was pretending, like, when I told my mom, but my snots ran over my apples. And she felt really bad, so she let me stay home. So I would stay home and just watch daytime TV and then not do any work or think about school and just actually get dumber.
Now, if I could interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
When I was home, and listen, some of the fondest memories I have of being a child or being homesick, it's very comforting that you're home while people are in school. It's just a very weird feeling. The mother is babying
Frank
you and,
right into his adult life.
Yeah, you know what?
Excuse me?
That's it. That's exactly the theme of your adult life. You in some comfortable position, surrounded by booger snot tissues.
Frank just wanted gummy bears and fucking the Disney afternoon surrounding himself.
Yeah, and you're just
at all times.
And you have a perimeter of the leavings of eaten snacks. By the way, a show that I used to love and watch whenever I could, brought up by Jay Kling in the Pal Talk room. Hear us talk radio on Pal Talk. Supermarket Sweep. Did you ever watch that, Frank?
That is what I call one of the lowest budget game shows there ever was. Next to Joker's Wild and Tic-Tac-Doe.
It might be low budget, but yo, there was high strategy involved with Supermarket Sweep.
Joker's Wild was so low budget that when they would pull that lever, sometimes it would get caught in between the two tiles, and you'd see the middle of it.
That's true. But with Supermarket Sweep,
can't deny, like, the Supermarket Sweep, you always knew when the smart guy was up, they'd be running to the prosciutto aisle and getting, like,
not even
Parmesan,
that.
Prosciutto, no. Like, pancetta, all the Italian, like, hard-cut meats.
And the looks of this fake supermarket, like, they would never have any of those fine meats. But
Stop and Shop said, "Hey, look at Supermarket Sweep.
Let's draw up a floor plan with no end caps,
and have that no end caps at all.
Yeah, and have that be our supermarket. But what everybody seemed to always do is go for like the spiral cut hams and the turkeys, and they end up having like 9 items. Whereas
seven spiral cut hams and 17 wedges of Parmesan.
The smart people would go to the vitamins and just fucking fill the entire cart with all the aspirin, all the fucking Centrum Silvers, everything. The Centrums, Centrums with
Centrum
Silver.
Centrum Silver was definitely like the best thing. They like throw their arm all the way into the back and just use like the 20 hole of the Centrum Silver and then like the 20 hole of like the chondroitin and glucosamine.
Yes. Now, Steve, you obviously pictured yourself on this show. I know I have. I had a plan of action. Frank, have you ever pictured yourself as how you would react on the set of a game show if you were a contestant? Have you ever envisioned yourself?
I always wonder, during the commercial breaks of Wheel of Fortune, I always wondered if, you know, Pat Sajak, if he converses with the people. And I would say to him, listen, get me a job in television. You know?
So your fantasy was palling around with Pat Sajak.
Right. Get me a
and
job.
And getting it in.
Yeah, get me a job here. I know you
watch
now.
Some of the April Fools, Jeopardy, and Wheel of Fortune switches. They would switch Pat Sajak and the other guy. What was his name?
Woolery? Chuck Woolery?
Yeah.
No, Alex Trebek. Alex Trebek.
Well, Alex Trebek would only fill in once in a while. But let me tell you, my favorite game
show
host.
I have to say, Pat Sajak on Jeopardy was some of the funniest television I have ever seen. His dry humor was just ridiculous.
I think he's just awful, Pat Sajak. He's a complete bore.
I remember they replaced him like on the daytime version of it with some guy named like Rolf Benishkersh. I don't even know his fucking name.
It's a very specific humor with Pat Sajak.
Rolf
Benishkersh.
My favorite game
show. Almost English.
My favorite game show host of all time was Gene Rapeburn.
Gene what?
Rape Burn.
Gene who?
Rape Burn. He did the match game.
You mean Gene Rayburn?
Oh.
Why would you say
Rape
Burn? Rape
Burn?
I thought it was Rape Burn.
Yeah. So you never fantasize about being a contestant to win the game or play the game, just to get an in broadcasting.
Frank just thought about Rape Burn, and he liked it.
No. You know, I don't know if I've ever fantasized about it. Why, have you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think any game show I've ever...
I always fantasize...
I think, here's the deal. The only way to watch a game show is to picture yourself as a contestant and criticizing the moves of everybody that's on
right.
It. It's like, oh, if I was on that, I would have fucking gotten that.
Everybody knows the
answer is, you know, Billy Martin or whatever. You know, it's retarded.
The shows that were the lowest budget, which I mentioned before, Joker's Wild and Tic-Tac-Toe, were the easiest questions of any game show. They'd be like, complete the phrase, hickory dickory blank. Easiest questions of all. And I know I would do great on those shows.
It would be like peanut butter.
Yeah.
Yes.
The one that I'm obsessed with now, and I'm you know, obviously it's a setup, but the Cash Cab, I watch it and I'm like, oh, come on, who doesn't know that? And then you get one like if you watch it with people, you say your answers so you can seem smart, but then you get to one where you don't know and you like go and pretend you weren't paying attention. You're like, oh, wait, what was it? Oh yeah, of course. After the answer's read, you pretend to just all of a sudden catch up with the game. Yeah. So, you know, so that's, I guess that's that as far as the video game.
You don't want to sound dumber than Ben Bailey, some dude from, you know, like New Jersey.
Ben Bailey, like the worst part about him is when the people get in the car, he does some kind of like impersonation of like a taxi driver.
To make everyone feel dumb to begin
where,
with.
Where are you going? Where are you going? Okay. All right. What's up?
Where are you going? All right.
You're on a cash
cab.
It's the
Cash Cab.
Yeah.
Now, are you familiar with a show hosted by the late great Peter Termarken? I believe it was. He has since been killed in a plane crash, motorcycle, huddle cable.
In a what? What kind of vehicle was that?
He was killed
a motorcycle slash plane. It seems like the coolest.
He was killed in
a
plane crash. He was killed
a
few years ago.
It was a by fault creating helicopter.
He was Ghost Rider. Actually, that was the host of the show. What was the show, Frank?
Press Your Luck, which is now called The Whammies, I think. It is revived as The Whammies.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Michael Larson, who has also since passed away, his claim to fame was he memorized the patterns of Press Your Luck.
Yeah.
And he won $110,000.
And also, the benefit of his fame is that a bald man on an internet radio show remembered his name.
Thank you.
And, well, they made up...
You heard this guy?
Yeah, I have, obviously. They've made some movies about him, et cetera, but... what was it? Quiz show, I think, was loosely based on that. I don't exactly know.
Big bucks, no whammy, stop.
Now, the fact that you're impersonating that, I think that you... Oh, God. You know, Frank, you got to hand it to me.
And know what I always found corny? In the original Press Your Luck, I always found it awkward when the little whammy would pop up. And then you would see the contestant look at the little whammy, like, and pretend like he was looking at something and giggle a little bit. It was very corny.
That was very, very corny.
And the little whammy would just wipe up all your money.
The
like,
worst.
All your money would just drip down to the next tier, and the whammy would just
wipe
it up.
The whammy was about as cool as the Noid. Those are two characters from that era that I just could do without.
Whammy didn't get his own video game until just recently. The Noid had his own video game.
What was the
80s.
Fucking Noid? I don't like what I don't understand.
Avoid the Noid back in the 80s.
But what
man.
The fuck is it? I don't understand. Avoid the Noid. Okay, what is the Noid? A guy with rabbit ears?
Noid. You don't want to fuck with the Noid.
The Noid is a guy with a rubber rabbit mask on that's going to steal my pizza. I don't understand. How is that a fucking marketing campaign?
Well,
nobody liked it. I mean, actually, I looked it up on YouTube recently because someone that I work with was young enough that they don't even know what the fucking Noid is. And so I showed it to him, and I'm like, oh, I mean, I remember it existing. I remember there was a Nintendo game for it, but I don't actually remember any of the commercials. So I'm watching it, and I'm like, wow, this really makes no fucking sense. I look at the YouTube comments, and the comments are like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Lame. And like someone writes fake, gay, like all the typical, you know, internet comments. But Frank, your household experience was not so much as being like the kid sick, staying home from school. It's not that. You do help out in your household, somewhat, right, in your own way? Is that right? Yes or no?
Sometimes.
I would say that Donna does most of the stuff, correct?
I would say so.
And you don't do most of the stuff. Is that right?
That's a fair assumption.
I was ironing my shirt last night, and I was on the phone with Frank talking about maybe some stuff that we would do tonight. And you were marveling at the fact that I was ironing.
Right. I says, why don't you have your mother do it?
Yeah. Well, because I'm an adult, and I iron my own clothes, and it's not that difficult of something to do. But you pressed on, and Frank, you let me know that you've never ironed anything, ever.
I wouldn't even know how to put the iron on. I know you got to pour water in there, because I used to watch my mother when I was a kid, but I don't even know where the water goes.
It goes down the wire into the socket, electrocuting you for trying something. Now, Frank, that kind of shocked me a bit that you've never even used an iron. And I was wondering if perhaps we could play a little game where, Frank, you list a bunch of household chores.
These are not necessarily household chores.
Okay, how about tasks that the average person does?
You have to pretty much guess if these things are true or false, if I've actually partaken in these things throughout my lifetime.
In your lifetime. Have you ever done them?
False.
Okay, now Frank is going to name them, because only he really knows what he's done.
Right. And like I said, they're not all household chores. They could be things that I may have done or I may have not done throughout my lifetime.
Oh, okay. So, achievements. Now, is it true?
And remember.
Let me ask.
I was not always a mental patient. Remember that, people.
Now, is it true that there is at least one yes, I've done it in the list?
Of course.
Okay. So, Steve, would you like to play this game that I'm going to call Frank? Has Frank lived? I don't know, because I was going to call it Frank Around the House.
But I'm gonna say yeah. I don't care what you call it. So I already say false.
So you're gonna play.
Frank
okay.
hasn't done any of this shit.
But he said that he has. So we have to guess.
Okay.
We have to guess.
You know what? It doesn't matter what Frank says he has or has not done. I'm gonna go with no. Frank hasn't done it, and I'm sure I will be in the majority in that.
Okay. Then I'm thinking I'm gonna beat you, since he has said that there are some yeses in this. So why don't we...
Let's do it up.
Okay. Okay, so Frank, you're going to name some
things that I may have partaken in.
May or may not. And Steve and I will guess whether you've done them.
Yeah.
Have I ever installed a toilet?
No.
Have you ever installed a toilet? I'm going to say, because the toilet is very important to him, and I think that he has changed out toilets, I'm going to say yes, he's done it.
No.
Ken, you are correct.
Yes! Thank you. That's 1-0, Steve.
Steve, I was not always a wacko. Just remember that.
A toilet is. I think it's he brought somebody in to change his toilet.
Yeah, you know what, Frank?
I've physically
doing these things, not you commanding another person.
In my lifetime, I have actually installed a toilet.
Okay, but I want to make sure that when you say that it's you doing it, it's not you commanding another person.
It is me getting on my hands and knees in the bathroom.
Okay.
I'm fucking impressed. All right, next question.
Okay. Have I ever boiled water in order to make pasta? Have I ever made pasta, in other words?
Have you ever made pasta?
Yes.
Come
obviously,
on.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes also.
Okay,
that's,
you are
that's
both
dumb.
Incorrect.
What? You've never made pasta?
I wouldn't even know how to do. I know you gotta wait for the water to boil or something, and then I don't even. That's too
confusing. Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Hold on. By Frank's own definition, he said, have I ever boiled water to make pasta? You've never boiled water before?
I've boiled water, but I don't know how to cook pasta, and I've never put them together.
That's it. You have like 90% of it done.
No, there's things you have to wait for. Don't you have to wait for something to boil before you throw something in or something like that?
No, dude. 90% of the time, you just boil the water and throw the pasta in.
Yeah.
Like 5 minutes and it's done.
You know, put a little salt in, maybe. Something
there
like
you
that.
Go, Frank.
Just do something.
You have a German teaching you how to be Italian.
So it's still 1-0, Steve. 1-0.
You're winning.
In my lifetime, have I ever eaten a dog bone?
Wait. Hold on. A dog bone, in a fucking rawhide?
A milk bone.
Oh, definitely. You've definitely eaten a
fucking
milk bone.
Yes, also.
Okay, you are both correct.
Of course! Now, I'm going to go as far as saying, have I ever eaten will always be a yes.
Excuse that? That's pretty rude.
No, because personally, I got duped one time, and I thought they were animal crackers, and they were dog treats.
I'm not going to lie. When I was a kid,
six of my friends were just chowing down on the animal crackers we thought were animal crackers, but they were dog sweets.
Yeah, I'm not even going to front, as the kids are saying. I've reached into the dry dog food bag as a kid, and I've eaten it.
Are you keeping track of the score here?
The score is,
one
me, zero Steve.
And there's a tie also, but whatever.
Well, I mean, that's, you know.
All right.
What is this, fucking the NHL?
All right. Have I ever grilled a hamburger?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say yes also.
You're both correct
on
that one. You're both correct.
Okay, that's actually, I'm sorry, Frank, that's 2-1, Steve. Me and Steve. I'm beating Steve. Continue.
Okay. Yeah,
you're up one.
Ken's up one.
Yes.
Have I ever pulled my wife's hair back while she was vomiting in order to keep the hair out of her face?
Not a chance in the fucking world have you ever done that.
Yes. So I'm going to say yes, because I think Frank might actually have that little ounce of decency in him.
Here's the deal. I think,
I will believe in that little ounce, that little tiny speculum of decency.
Here's my thoughts on it.
Frank actually did that.
Steve, I'm going to say that if Frank ever discovered that his wife has ever puked, he would file for divorce. So I'm going to say no, and you say yes. Frank, the answer.
Ken, you are correct.
Yes!
All right. Do not
eat it, Steve!
When my wife vomits, if she vomits, I run out of the fucking room and I don't look back.
So, you don't even hold her hair back. You don't clean it up.
I don't give a shit. I fucking leave there and I have a can of Lysol in front of my face.
You don't bring her water or anything like that?
Nothing!
Do you even, like, help her to the bathroom or anything like that?
Frank's like, fuck her. She's on her own.
Okay, so that's 3-1, Steve.
No, it's 2-1.
I just scored.
And it was 1-0, and now it's 2. Right?
I just said it was 3-1, or 2-1 before, and I just got another one, so it's 3-1.
All right, whatever.
Go ahead, continue.
Frank?
In my lifetime, have I ever been coughed on by somebody who had tuberculosis?
Yes! Whoa!
I'm going to say yes, because Frank, it doesn't matter if it's true or not, Frank thinks that it happened.
Now, Frank, this has to be proven facts, correct?
Correct.
Have you ever been coughed on by someone with tuberculosis?
I'm just saying yes.
I'm going to say this is a decoy. I'm going to say no. Steve says yes, right, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
I say no. Frank, what's the answer?
Ken, you are correct.
Yes! Fuck you and your decoys! 4-1, Steve. 4-1. Okay. You say yes
Frank,
once
no
on the wrong
idea
one.
About how TB is getting transmitted to you.
All right.
next.
Have I ever stuck a pipe cleaner up my hamster's ass? Because
no. No, you haven't.
Continue. Wait. I...
Keep going.
What? Can you please finish?
I can't.
You got it. No, you have to.
Keep
have
going,
I ever stuck
Frank.
A pipe
Come
cleaner
on.
Up my hamster's ass because he had a sunflower shell stuck in it?
Okay, that's a little too fucking detailed.
I'm gonna say
it's
no.
Gotta be yes.
I'm actually gonna go with no on
no,
this.
No, you're an idiot. It's yes. Okay, what's the answer?
This time Steve is correct.
Whoa! So wait, you dreamed that scenario up.
You got it, boy!
Where do you come up with that scenario?
Hey, it's a decoy, my friend.
Did it happen and you chose not to get it out of the hamster's ass?
It never happened.
Okay, so that's 4-2. Steve coming back 4-2
in the
ever have I ever Frank around the house game.
Have I ever been to a XXX adult rated movie theater?
No.
Yes.
Never, ever.
I know this for a fact. Yes.
Okay, so this is disqualified then.
Oh.
Well, because you already know for
you,
a fact.
You actually mentioned it on the show, which proves that Steve doesn't listen, which means he's a horrible person.
Okay.
So next.
Bonus question. What was the name of the movie that was playing? The name of the movie that was playing was called Wild Stuff.
Wild Stuff.
Yes.
That's the cheesiest, most generic name ever. That's like if the kids on Growing Pains were going to sneak out to see a dirty flick, it would be called Wild Stuff.
Yo, okay.
Hey, don't tell mom and dad. We're going to sneak out with Boner to watch Wild Stuff. Okay, continue.
Have I ever sucked out the jelly out of a jelly donut and filled it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Yes.
I think you definitely have done that.
I have not done that.
Oh, but you've thought about it because this came out of your fertile mind.
Right.
Okay, so it's still...
Let's get back to
it's still,
here.
Yeah, still...
up with two?
4-2.
All right, how many more are we going to do here? I got, you know...
Keep going.
Keep going. Just go.
In my
done,
lifetime,
bro.
Have I ever stuck my hand into a toilet bowl filled with my own shit in order to retrieve something that fell in?
No.
Barehanded.
No.
Yes.
Ken?
Yes, you have.
Ken, you are correct.
Hey! Yes!
In 1978,
I went home
from school for lunch. I was playing with my Matchbox cars in a toilet, and one of them fell in. I had to get it.
And it was filled with your own shit?
Yes.
You dropped it through, like, through your legs?
Whatever.
Yes,
as long
I was
as
playing
I destroy
with
his whole germ freak motage, I don't give a shit.
Motage. Okay.
It's how many times do I have to say that I was not always like this?
Germ freak by sticking in your hand.
Yeah, but there was a point, Steve, when he was
bowl for a Hot Wheel.
Steve, there was a point when he was normal like you and I, very normal indeed. 5-2. Frank, continue.
Frank,
have I ever
did this all start? That's what I want to know.
We've been through this ad nauseum, please.
Yes. So let's go.
Did I ever kiss my dogs on the lips?
Yes.
Absolutely you did.
Okay, you're both correct on that.
Okay.
Fucking fag.
6-3. Hey.
Okay. Have I ever been fingerprinted at a police station?
Yes.
No.
Steve, you are correct.
Whoa!
Okay. Oh!
All right, 6-4.
DNA, baby, it's all over. It's all over.
6-4.
Did I ever hit myself in the head with a hammer?
No.
By accident, obviously.
No.
Oh.
By accident. Yes, by accident.
Steve, your answer?
No.
Ken, you're correct.
7-4. 7-4.
Frank. All right.
Okay.
Just a couple more here.
Okay, a couple more.
Have I ever changed a flat tire?
No.
I don't think you ever have.
You're both wrong.
Whoa! Okay, next.
Wait, hold on. Were you able to drive home on that tire that you changed?
Yes, I was.
He drove home with three.
Holy shit, I don't believe you.
He took it off and that's it. Okay, so that's a surprise. That's a real surprise.
That's what it sounded like.
Did I ever wipe a white, yellow, viscous ooze that was leaking out of Sophie's vagina
yes.
after she was playing in the woods?
Yes. Yes.
I'm gonna say.
Viscous ooze. I have to say.
I'm
yes.
gonna say no. You didn't because this is a decoy.
Ken, you're correct.
Yes. Suck it, Steve.
No, Frank's lying.
A white, viscous ooze
from out of his ass.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way he would do it because he would think maybe somebody.
Just a couple more here.
He would think somebody fucked his dog and he wouldn't want to risk touching jizz.
Just a couple more.
So that's 8.
All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going.
Okay. Or 8-2 or what is? I don't even know.
In my lifetime, have I ever flicked a booger on someone?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
I think it's 7-2.
Have I ever?
We don't even know. It's 8-2. It's fucking 9-5.
Three more questions
here.
Sure.
Steve, this is just for fun. You've lost. Continue.
Have I ever been sneezed on by a homeless man?
Yes.
Yes, you have.
You're both wrong.
Whoa. Something to shoot for. Something to shoot
for. This is the second to last question.
Okay.
Have I ever made coffee that was not instant coffee?
No, you never have.
Steve?
I'm going to say yeah. I think Frank might have dabbled.
Okay, Ken, you're correct. I wouldn't even know where to start.
And you know what's sad? You own a latte machine.
That's true.
You own not only do you have a coffee pot and a latte machine and a taste for coffee.
Just two more questions.
You
here.
Still have not made coffee. Continue.
Have I earned my Red Wings?
Right. Yeah, I have to shout out Mike from Queens at this point.
Can you say it again, please?
Have I earned my Red Wings?
Interesting.
Yes. You better have.
I think no. I'm going to say no, he has not.
Better have. God damn it.
No
Frank.
Way.
Better
not
have.
Not a chance.
By accident, Steve, you are correct.
Whoa! Thank Steve!
You. You better fucking have. God damn
by, it. Now, when you say by accident, what are you talking about?
Well, we didn't know.
Oh,
it, it
man.
It was on purpose.
Okay, so you caught it at the beginning.
At the beginning stages.
Wow. And did
Frank, you had no
Frank,
idea. Your wife knew 100%.
Hold on, Steve. Hold on. Frank, when you discovered, were you mid-act or post-act?
I think it was post.
Okay,
Frank
so
was post-act like 2 days. He had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. So you had done it and then discovered that you had a red dick.
Yes, I was about to. I was gonna wrap my dick up like a mummy, like I usually do, and realized the toilet tissue was all red.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Looks
my like
last
it's
question.
New sheets for the master bedroom.
All my right. last question.
Yes.
Have I ever been oiled up by a woman
no.
who was not my wife?
No.
From the
no.
chest up?
No.
Wait a minute. That's a key thing, Steve. Before you answer so quickly, from the chest up.
From the midsection up, not including my, nothing below the waist.
Oiled up.
Frank,
oiled
what I'm
up.
Saying is you're not gay. If you say that I'm wrong, you're just saying you're gay. So I'm saying no.
I'm going to say, yes, he has been oiled up by a woman
right,
other
so
than Dom.
I'm saying Frank's gay. I'm saying Frank's not. Frank?
Chest up.
Ken, chest you are
up?
Correct. I
yes!
have been oiled up by a woman
oh,
other than
so
my
Frank's
wife.
Totally
as gay. I went to a masseuse in 1992.
There you go.
And that concludes.
Hold on. Wait yes. a minute. You went to a masseuse post-crazy time.
Yes.
The birth of Germ Freak was 1989.
Right.
Why the fuck did you go to a masseuse?
Because she was in the same office as another doctor I was going to, and I and she
total
was clean.
Lies.
I knew her for a couple years. Mm.
Now, did you ask her to pick the towel up and do the back?
No,
the
but
back?
She wanted me to take my pants off, and I didn't want to take my pants off because I didn't think it was right.
So you had your black socks
and
trousers.
My jeans and sneakers on, and just my shirt off, and she gave me a back rub.
Buckshot jeans and fucking loafers, and a fucking exposed hairy back to be greased up. Jesus H. Christ. Well, Steve, thank you.
I hope yes. you enjoyed getting to know a little bit about myself.
You know what? I like this, and I'm hoping that maybe we can do this again sometime with some production. Maybe mold this into a better bit. Frank, there's a lot you have not done in your life. And there's a lot that you have surprised us with.
Everything.
Well, Steve, you will admit that there are things that you didn't expect him to have done that he has done. Thank you for calling in, Steve.
Oiled up by a man from the chest.
It was a woman.
A woman.
It was a woman. He said woman other than his wife. Not man. He didn't say man other than his wife. That would be insulting to his wife.
Oh, so I have some nice stuff to tell to Donna. Great.
Well, Steve, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. Do you have anything?
Ken, thank you for Donna's email address.
Oh, you're
Excuse
welcome.
Me?
Don't worry about it.
I'll talk to you next week.
See you later, Steve. Say hi to Donna. Take care.
I will. I will. I definitely will. Good night.
Thank you.
Good
have night. A good night, Steve. Frank, I really enjoy that. I got to say.
Thank you.
I really enjoy that. Really well. Fast. I just want to say, Frank, I think you did a great job. I want to say that you acted well in the scene. You put together a great segment, and I don't think that Walter Sobchak and Jimmy J.J. Walker will have too much to criticize us about on their show Hate Us Talk that they've just started doing. I think Monday, yesterday, last night was the first show. They basically tore us to fucking shreds while praising us at the same time. I'm listening to this, and I'm like, you guys are completely right, and thank you. Like, I'm listening to this. Frank, did you hear any of this? Did you listen?
I heard some of it. I thought it was great.
It's our buddy Clayton, who is Walter Sobchak, and Leslie, who is Jimmy J.J. Walker. They review all of the shows on Hear Us Talk with an extremely analytical and critical eye. And the episodes are recorded live, and Crazy Monk actually has been producing this. These are all people that have listen to the show, and they've gotten very much involved with what Hear Us Talk does. And basically, apparently, what they've observed of me is that I show too much affection towards my dog. I'm losing years of my life, and I'm near death because of you. and I no longer care about how the audience perceives the show. That's what I got out of their criticism of me. I think they've actually literally said these things exactly about me. And about you, they apart from the usual bald and elderly things, they say that your fake laugh derails the entire flow of any conversation it's a part of. Case in point. Frank, you also abandon your bits before they start, which, honestly, you dispelled tonight. You did not abandon this bit that you did, Ever Have I Ever. I don't even know what the fuck it's called. Have I Ever? I don't know.
Yeah, Have I Ever.
Yeah, okay. And the last criticism was that Frank frequently ignores guests he doesn't care about. Now, let me tell you something. Maybe with Mr. Chasidé, Maine, but not with Ken Moorhead. You did not ignore him. You engaged him, and you made that segment very, very interactive and good.
Wow, I'm full of... I'm getting accolades tonight.
You improved.
Style.
You improved yourself. Thank you. I praised you, Frank, and I can't wait to hear...
Oh boy.
Because, Frank, they tabulated the number of times I said fuck, and they said that it just went, it was at a steady rate of like 175 times per hour, and then like the second hour just ballooned, which I guess last episode was the time where I apparently lost my mind because of something you may have done or didn't do. So, I don't know, I can't wait to hear it. They reviewed Best in Show and The What Show as well. And that'll be... Actually, it's already posted on the Heroes Talk forums. HeroesTalk.com/forums. It's in there in the general section. Hate Us Talk, I think, is the working title of the show. I'm going to check it out, Frank. How about you?
I will.
Fantastic. Do you have any thoughts on it? I mean, Walter Sobchak... And
I think they make a good team. Yeah. I think that they complement each other. They make a good team, and I enjoyed listening to it.
Hmm.
I want to know.
Yeah,
Walter.
I'm sorry. What do you want to know? There's something you want to know.
Yes. It's the end of the show, Ken. You got to give me some slack. You know what I'm saying, my friend?
Well, we were almost out of the fucking woods with them. Almost. But I think you had mentioned something about not really knowing where... Yeah.
Oh, we're going to do that right now? I mean, why don't we save it for next time?
There's a few fucking minutes left. Do you understand that? Holy shit, you are dense. Just, you can't... Can you go with anything? I'm just wondering, Frank. So, okay.
Are we doing it or no?
Holy fucking shit! Are you fucking serious?
You see how quickly on a fucking dime, folks? On a fucking dime!
God damn it, you are
fucking
dense!
On a fucking
dense.
Dime, people! On a fucking dime. Oh, the origin, yeah. What is Walter Sobchak anyway? Is that a football coach?
Is this something you'd like to know, Frank?
Yes.
I wanna know!
Wow!
What you're thinking, there are some things you can't hide. I wanna know what you're feeling.
Tell
me what's on your mind.
It's no secret.
Well, Frank, Walter Sobchak is a character in the Coen Brothers movie, The Big Lebowski. There you go.
I got another one, too, I gotta ask you.
Wait, I'm sorry, there's more than one?
What does it mean when somebody says it's all relative?
It's all relative?
Yes.
It means that whatever they're talking about in proportion to another scenario, it relates.
And now I'm even more confused.
Well, I mean, if it's all relative, it depends on several variables that they're talking about. For example... The your weight on Earth is relative to the size of Earth, whereas your weight on Jupiter is relative to how much I cannot fucking stand you right now, which is immensely, immensely. You know, Frank, comparison, relation, That's what relativity is. Thank you.
What does pimps up, hose down mean?
That means never let a hoe above a pimp. Never let a hoe get hers before a pimp gets his. Thank you. Kremling, I want to just say thank you, Kremling, for tuning in to the DJ New Style show. Or is it Kremling? I think it might be Kremling. I'm not sure. Anyway, he's in the HeroesTalk.com chat room. Frank, thank you. After I praise you, and we've now given them a whole segment that is Hate Us Talk. They're the official watchdogs of all radio on HeroesTalk.com. Frank, why don't we just wrap this up in a nice, productive, and beautiful bow?
I like to say put a cap on the bottle.
Yeah. I like to say put a knife in the vein. And let it slowly drain. Anyway, this has been episode, 237 at this point?
Big 250 celebration coming up.
Oh, I guess so. One more show before Christmas. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to go to ICU2.com, DJNewStyleShow.com, download the shows. Frank, is there anything you want to say?
But this is us. Yeah, no. Shut up. You're talking to a fucking sign. No, you be quiet. I'm going to kick all your friends' ass. Outside, outside, outside. You done good, Newman. You could pack a real punch. Sure, and harsh me. You there still?
Yes.
Wani, ha, ha, ha. It's sticking, it's sticking. You're not a friend. Bob, you were right. Snuggie, it's gay. Ken, is there anything you'd like to say?
You're an asshole! It's a fucking snooze. Appreciate it, homeboy. And a pretty damn good living at that. Shit, I couldn't even get out the damn window. Getting too old for this shit, Riggs. Go for crepe. It's the shit. Do you hear me? Because that's what I goddamn do. Fuck face. Nah, I'm good. Thanks. For the tear that's been in some and seeing. For the haut und haaren untergehen. Ihr wollt doch auch den deutschen Flaggen stecken. Ihr wollt doch auch das Blut von Degen lecken. Rammstein. Rammstein.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! Hasha! Hasha! Give it to me, baby! Give it to me!
Go suck banana! Fuck you!